Seth, how are the Texans five players away from being Super Bowl contenders right now?
I was reading an article by Bucky Brooks and Daniel Jeremiah from NFL.com. These guys are both former scouts. I think Bucky Brooks played in the NFL.
They're very good.
For a little while. Yeah, so and then a lot of, you know, Daniel Jeremiah from his work during the draft and the combine, all that stuff. They basically identified five key players that a Super Bowl contender needs to have, like give or take a couple here and there. And it's real simple. It's, okay, you've got to have a franchise quarterback. You've got to have three, like, blue chip offensive linemen, three offensive playmakers, two pass rushers, and three defensive playmakers.
Okay.
And I the first thing you see on that list is like, oh, okay, one franchise quarterback. We got that, right?
Got the hardest part.
Is there any debate about that? Is there any, like, hey, maybe Deshaun Watson isn't going to be all that great?
I don't think there's a debate about it in general. I think that the debate is he's got to get better. Is he as good as Pat
Brock
Mahomes?
Brock Osweiler. Yeah.
Andrew Luck. I think that's the debate.
You're right. Is he in the – he's not in the elite caliber of quarterbacks yet. It's still a lot of promise at this point.
I mean, right now, without question, Mahomes is a better quarterback. And Andrew Luck had a better season this past year than Watson did.
Yeah, he's just not up there at the elite. But you've got a franchise quarterback.
Yes, so, absolutely.
Three offensive linemen. This is where it gets tricky. So to win a Super Bowl, you've got to have three, like, high-caliber offensive linemen, or at the very least, like, dyed-in-the-wool starters. Right now, the Texans have, hold on, left tackle, middle, zero. They've got zero.
None.
There's zero of those. So they're at minus three. Three offensive playmakers. So you're going to be looking at your skill positions here. This is rare because most teams, when you think about playmakers on offense, you're going to be thinking, okay, well, you know, hopefully maybe one of them's a running back, maybe one a tight end, one a wide receiver. Kind of like the Chiefs had it until the running back got kind of
Kareem
stupid.
Hunt, yeah.
So I would say that they have three playmakers. That's just they're all in the wide receiving corps. I would classify Hopkins, Fuller, and QT potentially as all playmakers. The two for sure. QT is like, he still doesn't have a huge sample size. Like, all right, I like what I see in QT. I think he's going to do something for them. But does that count if all three of them are in the wide receiving core?
I think it counts. That to me is not a concern. Maybe you could use better running back play, but I'm good with their playmakers on offense.
I'm not sure it counts because they don't always have them out on the field together. And I don't know, compared to other teams that Bucky Brooks is looking at, how often that happens for those teams where they're without their top three offensive playmakers. I guess I'd look at New England. New England's losing a very big one in Rob Gronkowski this year. So I'd imagine that would put them maybe at like one and a half or something like that by this metric. But the real question for me, how often are Fuller and QT on the field?
Right. Because especially like if you'd like to be able to use two tight end sets, I don't know. Teams are using three. They use three wide receiver sets a lot. But I understand what you're saying there. If you want to go out of different personnel groups, you're not going to have all three of them out there.
It's a little bit concentrated in one area. But I'm good with where the Texans are with a playmaker standpoint. And I actually am optimistic about the young tight ends that they have. And hopefully Deontay Foreman comes back. So in this area, I think they're good. The big thing is the thing that we know. They got to get the receivers, the young guys, to stay healthy. If they do, then they've got the playmakers.
Almost all of these teams that they consider Super Bowl contenders have, you know, at least it might be like you look at the Browns, Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, and then David Njoku. So they've got a tight end mixed in there.
Yep.
So right now we're three short. I'll go ahead and I'll say that the three offensive playmakers for now can all be in the wide receiving group. It's not as pretty and it doesn't mean as much, but just I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Two pass rushers, Watt and Clowney. That's fine.
Yes.
Like you might say Clowney needs to be a better pass rusher. Fine. But he's a legitimate pass rusher.
Is Whitney merciless in that conversation?
Not the way they're using him. So I guess that's where.
But he could be.
Yeah.
We're discussing the five players that the Texans are short of being a Super Bowl contender on a Tuesday.
So the last spot would be three defensive playmakers. And this is where it kind of hit me in the face. Wow, yeah, actual playmakers on defense that aren't your pass rushers up front. And I'm kind of doing mental gymnastics to try to do I qualify Justin Reed there yet as a defensive playmaker?
I like him. I think he's promising, but yeah. I'm not sure I'm going to go that far yet.
He comes up and makes plays. He's had big time. Like, he basically won the Cleveland game for the Texans.
Washington game too with the pick six.
Right. So he's capable of making big plays. Is he one of the better defensive rookies in the league? do you put him up there with one of the better defensive players in the league just yet?
I would put him in this category because the Texans clearly expect him to become one of their best players in 2019, and I think it's reasonable based on his rookie season for him to become that guy.
Yeah.
Now, the other two, I think, is a really open question. What other defensive playmakers do they have?
You could maybe consider Bernardrick McKinney based off of his second half of the season, but we've talked about this before, Seth. We don't know that he's always the kind of player that can be out there every single down.
Well, he's
like a two-and-a-half-er.
He can be, right. Yeah, he's a two-and-a-half-down linebacker. He's not – This defense is a 1995 defense, and that's what worries me. It's just they're not fast. They're bulky.
I like 1995.
They can stop the run. Yeah, that's awesome. When John Riggins makes his next comeback, we'll be perfectly set up to stop John Riggins. But that's what I in terms of, yeah, do we classify Bernardrick McKinney as a playmaker? I feel like he's a really good linebacker for what they want him to
good
do.
Good blitzer.
But he's not what you consider a playmaking linebacker in the modern NFL. So I don't think so. I think, like, this is what you see out of the Texans' defense until they make some improvements. Solid but slow. You know, like, they're solid but they're slow. I'm not seeing a whole lot of I'm not seeing a whole lot of pop out there, and they're not making enough big plays. So Justin Reed, so out of the secondary, you've got Justin Reed. Amongst the linebackers right now, I wouldn't put Whitney Mercilus there because, again, he's kind of a man caught between three positions, and he's not necessarily making all those plays. So to be a genuine Super Bowl contender, this is why I'm looking at the Texans as a two-year project. I think you've got the offensive line alone isn't going to get Super Bowl ready, like with three high-caliber players in this one draft. Maybe like on some off chance it will, but most likely this is going to be another draft and another off-season or free agency period before, and maybe one young guy turning into something before it's an actually Super Bowl bona fide offensive line.
Do you have any negative defensive playmakers out there, given their depth at cornerback?
Like bad players?
Yeah, like where someone is so frustrating that they actually count against you. I mean, Aaron Colvin not being able to be on the field might have been one. Kevin Johnson, who is now gone, had he played for more than just a half of football against the New England Patriots, might have ended up being one. But now with Bradley Roby, Tayshawn Gibson, as well with Jonathan Joseph back in the mix, and hopefully a healthy Aaron Colvin,
well,
which I guess is the one excuse you could make for him.
If Bradley Roby plays the way he did last year, and if the Texans play more man because they have him, there will be a couple games this year where you're really mad at Bradley Roby.
Yes.
Like where you're going to say, like, oh, man, I thought we brought Bradley Roby in to stop T.Y. Hilton. Like, and then you're going to say, I don't know why, because he's never done that before. Yeah, but, and then you're going to be upset about it.
Yeah, to answer Ball's question, right now the cornerback group as a whole is a weakness. And that can change by Roby playing well and Colvin playing well and drafting one or two guys. Yeah. But that's something we won't know until they start playing games in September.
Zach Cunningham and Dylan Cole might be one of your two options for like a genuine playmaker.
I agree with that.
If one of those guys makes a leap this year, stays healthy, and just really starts popping, then maybe you've got a chance there.
Let's have some fun here. 713-572-4610.
It's never actually fun when you hit the phone line and
this
say
is
whoever
be fun.
When you say that. Who's this?
So the if you guys are just waking up and missed it, the Golden State Warriors somehow blew a 31-point lead to the Clippers last night in Game 2. And on that note, our guy, Pavetex Robert, joins us. Robert,
hey.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mike. You are a genius for a reason. You are a sports genius for a reason. And your co-hosts, once they do a little bit more stat research, will come on board as of tomorrow when they go home and check this out.
Were you like bandwagon to another team?
Oh, no. I'm sticking there, man, because Mike's right, bro. I didn't want to say it in the beginning because, you know, Cousins was making a big splash in free agency and stuff, but he really wasn't a good fit. Kerr has been trying to force him in there to make him fit, but he's been slow all year. He hasn't been 100%, and he does really make the team slow. When they put Bogut or Looney out there, you can see that the pick and roll works a whole lot better. There's a whole lot more movement, and even though they lost by 31 points, which is ridiculous, they were on fire. They were on all cylinders, just going Bogut, Looney, back and forth, in and out. They were having fun. And
Robert, they lost. They had a 31-point lead, and they lost the game. How do you explain yourself this morning? 31.
I went to bed with 4 minutes left thinking the game was done. 4 minutes left in the third quarter, and they blew it still. I mean, I don't know how you can feel good after this one.
I also went to bed last night with a 31-point lead and was very excited.
Worst bandwagon fan of all time.
and had a wake-up call by Mr. Kyle King there, intercom employee
yes, over there.
Yeah. So, you know, he's rubbing it in this morning. I wake up and I look at my phone and I say, oh, my God. And, you know, no, I cannot be happy about today. I am going to get killed at work today.
Excellent.
By all the Rockets fans. I'm going to get killed on Twitter and all the social media sites, which is totally acceptable. Totally acceptable. And y'all know this more than anybody because you went 0 for 27 from the 3-point
line. Okay. This is not the time. This is not the time. Not the time.
There's still more to tell you. It was actually technically 0 for 25. But listen.
Yes.
So you're going to tell me that basically Warriors fans are upset about this, blowing this lead, but at least DeMarcus Cousins is probably out for the playoffs. You're saying like, they're like, hey, at least DeMarcus Cousins is out. Warriors fans themselves were rooting and cheering for their own player getting injured.
Yes, sir. Like, I read all the comments last night. I read all the comments this morning. And if you go in there and look at all the Warriors' website, all the sites, if you look at the comments, all the fans are saying the exact same thing that Mike is saying. They are saying that they're sad about him hurting himself because they wanted to give him the championship as him playing. But they are also happy that Kerr doesn't have to force him to be in there when they know that Bogut and Looney are more athletic and better passers.
Okay, so we'll see what happens here. The MRI, thank you, Robert. The MRI is going to be today for DeMarcus Cousins.